Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone as the Utah Jazz fall to the Houston Rockets today. Really a great basketball game. The Jazz played very, very well. A lot of strategy parts to it. Really fun third quarter. And then all of a sudden, the Rockets went bananas. Eric Gordon hit 5 threes. In the fourth quarter, they hit 8 of 12, but I think they missed their last 2 or 3. They were 8 of 10 at one point. They scored 41 points. The Jazz led this game in the fourth quarter by the score of 91-83. And then I think we're on the wrong side of a 38-7 run to close. Holy smokes, Ron, what did you see?
Well, Jazz only scored 15 points. And once Gordon got it going, and Mike D'Antoni is so good at when a guy's hot, just riding him, leaving him in the ball game. He played 12. He played the whole fourth quarter. But the range and that he was shooting from, I mean, those wasn't threes. Those are like should have been 4 points. Should have got 4 points out of that. But you just knew that as explosive as this team, as the Rockets are, that the Jazz was in the ball game because they were scoring in the paint, was not getting to the free throw line, and the Warriors and the Rockets.
They feel like the Warriors.
Yeah, the Rockets just were not knocking down their normal threes. And then, you know, one of those guys sooner or later is going to get hot, and it ended up being Gordon.
Jazz only took 27 threes tonight. I mean, part of this game that is probably going to get untalked about is the fact that the Jazz offense, with all these cuts, the Rockets took away the three-point shot from the Jazz. The Jazz took advantage of it and had a half-decent offensive game to some extent. They hit back cuts. I mean, let's go to that third quarter. It's a fascinating game because basically everybody was playing five out, which means all five guys were playing outside the three-point line. The Rockets were driving and then kicking out. The Jazz were keeping the ball on the outside and backdoor cutting and getting layups.
Well, and that's my thought at that time was okay, because I think at one time the Rockets were like at 27 three-point shot attempts, and I'm thinking, okay, they keep the Warriors, wow, the Rockets underneath the number of threes that they take a ball game, and the Jazz continue to dominate and score in the paint, the Jazz going to have a chance to win the ball game. But that just didn't happen in that fourth quarter, getting outscored 41-15.
I mean, this game was close, and then it wasn't.
You know, it's funny how you go into the ball game with a different mindset on what you thought or what you think should take for a team to win. And as the game was going along, I'm thinking the Jazz might have a shot here. I keep thinking that way. You know, if they can continue to do this, they might have a shot. But that explosion of Eric Gordon was unbelievable.
Well, when Thabo hits the three in the left side, that's the one I was like, oh, wait, we're up eight. Like, there's a chance here, 91-83. And the other one is that the Jazz game plan was very clear. They didn't want to let James Harden. They didn't want to let Chris Paul beat them. They wanted to see if other guys could go get them tonight. And Harden, when he shoots below 40, when he shoots above 40%, the Rockets are 16-0. So he doesn't have to be great. He was 6 of 17 tonight. So I'm seeing that. I'm like, okay, we got a chance. And then, but what I think is important a little bit to tip your hat to the other guys, the threes were Eric Gordon. They were Trevor Ariza. I think there was a P.J. Tucker missed one in there that you wanted him to take. They were not Chris Paul and James Harden that were hitting those shots in that run. That's what the Jazz wanted to do. They wanted to see if they get the ball out of the hands of that and kind of and blow up their rhythm. And they did it for much of the night.
They did it for much of the night. But if you look at what happens with this team, they only play eight guys. And Gordon is the guy that's going to get starter minutes out there on the floor.
Well, tonight they really only played seven, right?
No, they played eight.
Well, Tariq Black only played 3 minutes.
They played eight.
Right, but Tariq Black played 3 minutes as the eighth guy.
Oh, yeah,
they really only
played seven.
Right,
so they only played seven. But they have a rotation there where you can see the number of minutes that these guys are getting. And when you have a team like that, that sooner or later someone's going to explode, that exactly what D'Antoni likes with this basketball team. They're just that good from the three-point line. They rely on the three-point line, and sooner or later, you know, things are going to happen. But what I'm thinking here is guys like Trevor Ariza having one of his best years. And the reason he's having one of his best years is because of those three guys and the type of shots that he gets because of them. He ends up exploding tonight. He had 3 for 5, 5 for 9 from the field for 15 points. Those are valuable points at 41 minutes that he played.
One thing we were keeping an eye on is Chris Paul is number one in the league in what the effective field goal percentage is off of his passes. Mm-hmm. And the Rockets tonight were 10 of 13 off passes from Chris Paul for 7 threes. So his effective field goal percentage tonight was over 100% on shots off his passes.
And he ended up with 10 assists. Now, just think back at the beginning of the year or over the summer, whenever he was traded here, can they play together? You know, both of them like the ball in their hands. This is not going to work. Okay.
I thought it was going to work the whole time.
25-4 record.
And I thought the guys we're going to see next, I didn't think was going to work. These guys, I thought it was going to work. It's working better than I thought.
It's really working nicely. And three of the four games that they've lost have been at home. So they're just getting the job done on the road there as well.
All right. Jazz fans are going to see the box score tonight and see Donovan Mitchell play just 21 minutes, 3 of 7. Did you see anything that he was doing that was not as good tonight, or was it just simply a case that Rubio's playing well, Rodney's playing well, Joe Ingles is playing well, you're going to have Joe Johnson on the floor? This was a night where the other guys were playing better.
That's exactly what I saw. And then the first thing came to mind was the comments that Quinn Snyder had made about Donovan, is that he doesn't make this about himself. And so you can see he just took a back seat. He didn't force anything. And he could see that the Jazz were playing well, doing other things other than him scoring. And
so this was more of the other guys playing well than Donovan doing anything wrong.
Well, it was more of the Jazz getting the job done a little differently, you know, than with him. I would imagine he could have been more offensive-minded. He didn't spend a lot of time on the floor. He picked up some early fouls, though. He ended up with, 4 or 5 fouls?
He did. Trevor Ariza seemed to bother him a little bit. And then they switch everything. So it's hard to get a rhythm of who you're – I think that actually – there's something we don't talk a lot about switching, but I thought I saw tonight a little bit that, okay, he's trying to figure out Trevor Ariza, and then next thing you know, he's guarded by P.J. Tucker. And he's trying to – well, wait a second. I'm trying to figure out this because they switched so much that I didn't think you could get a rhythm against who was defending it.
That's the reason teams, and in particular this Rockets team, is they have guys about the same size that can switch all over the floor. You really can't create a mismatch. D'Antoni wants to create a mismatches because of the pace that they play, and they have three guys that can beat you off the dribble and get to the basket and shoot the three. That's their game. That's not the Jazz's game. And so Donovan's probably be the only one on this team that can consistently do something like that, and they kind of took that away from him.
Jazz tonight, really, I actually – my viewpoint on this one was Jazz played well, had a good game plan, executed it well, battled, didn't make shots. They only shot 29% for three. Couldn't get threes off because of the way the Rockets were playing. Took advantage of what they could have, and then they just got beat by a team that right now, statistically, is equal to those of the great teams of all time. If you look at their numbers, it matches up to those great Bucks-Lakers teams in the 70s, the great Celtics-Lakers teams of the 80s, the Bulls teams of the 90s, and the Golden State Warriors. Those are the only teams in the history of this game that have a differential to what the Rockets are, and they got hit by an onslaught of a team of that caliber.
Okay, with your numbers, and just think about this, and this is something also that I was thinking about during the course of the ball game. The Rockets were not shooting the three that well, but the Jazz had the two-point game going and 58 points in the paint, and I was thinking, okay, if they can match those two-pointers against the Houston Rockets, they have an excellent chance, but they're going to explode.
I don't think you can, actually. I'm not sure. I would venture a bet that there have not been a team in the last few years that has won a game that took 16 fewer threes than their opponent.
Probably not. But that wasn't the case after the third quarter.
No, but then it was.
That's what I was thinking.
Right, yes. All right, that wraps us up. Thanks very much for tuning in. This has been Postcast on Facebook Live, on Utah Jazz, and on Locked On Jazz Podcast. Thank you.